How long have you been involved in trying to see your kids?
We finished with each other at the end of October 2001. We're now almost at the end of October 2004, and I am basically no further than I was a year after we had separated or had finished. I'd tried with the two solicitors to do things without the courts, because I'd heard what the courts were like, but obviously as a woman she knew what the courts were like, so she decided to go through the courts. And I felt that I had to answer, well, I know that I had to answer a lot of accusations that were untrue about domestic violence, about my kids are scared of me, about beating my kids up, which were totally fabricated. But I felt that the courts looked upon me as that person, which wasn't very nice.
Have you ever been tempted to give up?
Yes, quite a few times. Only because the mental abuse that my children would have been getting from the ex-missus, because your dad's this, your dad's that, and I didn't want them to go through that. And also, mentally, sometimes I can't take it, but within 2 minutes, I'm back there and I'm fighting it again. It's scary because kids do lose their dads, and then they're told that the dads have never wanted anything to do with them, but it couldn't be further from the truth.
Every year, what the government calls only 15,000 cases go to the family courts. In just 7% of those cases are men allowed to live with their children. The courts reduce the rest of them to Sunday fathers. 4 out of 10 fathers lose touch with their children forever. So why does this happen? Why are fathers forcibly removed from their children?
While society is changing, what is still the fact is that women take the prime responsibility for caring and bringing up the child. And that's still, you can see that in the patterns of work. You can see that in who's at the school gates picking up the children. You can see that in who takes the children to the doctors, who takes the children to the dentist.
Indeed, but who enables her to do this? Who pays for the dentist bills? Who's sacrificing time with the child so that she can do these things?
Nobody appreciates dad. Nobody ever says, hey, daddy, thanks for knocking out this rent. Hey, daddy, I sure love this hot water. Hey, daddy, this is easy to read with all this light.
If the child is already living with the mum, the judge may well decide that that's in the best interest of the child to continue.
Well, that's wrong.
Well, that may be your view.
The whole idea of the primary caregiver and the best interest of the child is flawed. It's simply a weapon used against fathers to belittle them and make it acceptable to remove them from parenting. By arguing that the mother is somehow more important and more relevant for the care of the child, it's easier in our minds to discount the father and regard him as superfluous. But the father is certainly not superfluous. The family is one unit and is indivisible. Any attempt to define the father's role as somehow less important is an attack on family and a hate crime against men.
So, for example, in some of these relocation cases, what you've seen being argued on the, let's say it's the father who's worried he's not going to see his children again because he lives in Cornwall and the wife wants to move to Scotland or Australia. He argues that it's in the child's interest to have contact with him as his father, that the child will be damaged and will suffer if it doesn't have that contact and it will lose out on that relationship.
I only need to assess the family dynamic for the court.
Well, it's simple. Carla and I both love our son, but she's trying to take him away from me so her new husband can pursue his career.
How do you feel about him?
Who, Roger?
Yes.
He's a decent guy, I guess.
Good to your son?
Yeah, sure.
Loves him?
Look, why are we talking about Roger? Who cares about Roger? This is about me, Reese, and Carla.
Like it or not, he factors into this. Well, how do you think you'd deal with it if Carla was able to take Reese out of the country?
That's not going to happen.
If it did?
On the other hand, the mother who's relocating might argue that she's got a wonderful job opportunity, or that she's going to return to live where her parents come from, possibly, or she's going back to where she's originally from, and she wants to bring the child up with the benefit of an extended family.
Are you doing this?
Why am I doing this?
Restraining orders and lawyers.
Carla, I only have one son. Roger can get another damn job.
This is a great opportunity for us, Peter.
What about Reese, huh? You ever think about that? I mean, you want to take him away from his father?
an extended family and the mother having a good job, living in a happy relationship with a new Scottish man, those all might be things that could produce an environment that's going to be best for a child. And again, you have to weigh them up. And it's very difficult, these balancing acts. There's no right or wrong in them. They are balancing acts.
There is no complexity and there is no balancing act. If a woman decides to have a child with a man, then she must live with the consequences of that decision. And this includes fewer freedoms to relocate. It's literally amazing that in our supposedly male-dominated society, fathers' rights are up for debate.
All the court can ever do is balance the two and try and work out what they think is going to be in the child's best interests.
That's the mantra they use. It's always the best interest of the child. The child's interest is paramount. So they all hide behind that one sentence, but there's an awful lot of people hiding behind what is a very little narrow pillar. I don't know how they all manage to hide behind it for so long.
Best interests of the child must be removed from the statutes. It's nonsensical.
The best interests of the child are indivisible from the best interests of family. One cannot profess to care about children if you don't also care about the parents. Both parents. The best interest of the child is that he has a mother who is responsible in the choice of father. The best interest of the child is that the father is not removed from parenting. The best interests of the child are that both parents are present and have a biological investment in the child. The best interest of the child as it stands today equates only to the best interest of the mother. And while women may see this as some sort of superior position, a victory of sorts over men, women don't actually win anything.
The real winners are government and the legal industry.
You have laws that, if you stand them up and put the spotlight all over them, are gender neutral. But the practice of that law, all men will know that if you go into court and your wife, she doesn't even have to get a good solicitor. If she decides that she wants A, B and C, she will get A, B and C. As David Malta on one of our helplines, his young boy said to him once, those courts you go to, Dad, they actually work along the lines of mum wants and the court does it. And he was only a young lad when he said it to him. But even that young lad was aware that when his mother went to court, if she wanted something, she got it.
I think it's got to change the mindset of people rather than the law itself. It's the mindset that women actually think that they are divinely right to have the children because they give birth.
The continuing nobility of men under these oppressive circumstances is absolutely incredible. A man's not even allowed to be frustrated that he hasn't been able to see his child for years.
If he tries to see his children against the mother's wishes, he's a stalker. If he gets angry about being denied contact, he's violent. If he refuses to pay child support without the right to see his child, he's a deadbeat dad.
That is not in the best interests of your daughter. Ms. Jenkins says she is afraid of you. You are obsessive, aggressive and unpredictable, stalking her in the
street.
No,
Karen, I wasn't stalking. I just wanted to see Lola. It was the only way I could get a glimpse of her, check she was all right. If you love someone, you worry about them all the time.
Mr. Flint, you hardly know your daughter, so how can you say you love her?
Do you worry about anything that you say and how you behave will have a bad influence?
I did. I mean, I do worry how I behave, so you're careful not to. The minute you swear in there, the minute you get annoyed, they say, look, he's like they said. There's not the fact of the matter. It's been 3 years, you've had it up to here.
Take, for example, the requirement to have a welfare officer's report. The government target is 12 weeks. Now, that's 3 months before you get a report. In fact, it seldom takes 3 months. It usually takes 4 or 5 months.
Some reports take 4 or 5 months to get done from CAFCAS. One report took 7 months for them to send, and in them 7 months I only see my children 3 times because my ex-partner has said that the children didn't want to see me.
Judges rely on CAFCAS reports to do their jobs. But CAFCAS is a feminist institution, riven with prejudice against men. Most reports are from the viewpoint that fathers are unnecessary to upbringing. They'll typically recommend ridiculous contact arrangements. And if the mother disagrees, then even this doesn't happen.
The contact I have, the arrangement I have at the moment is 3 weekends out of 4, which is pretty good compared to a lot of dads. But that's because she don't want my children at the weekend so she can go out. But so if it weren't in her interest, it wouldn't be me having the children. And for a year, she wouldn't let me see my daughter.